Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Toward the Vienna model, we'll have to go beyond the market. We can establish community land trusts to gradually buy up housing on the private market and convert it to community ownership. We can give tenants a right of first refusal to buy out their landlords when buildings go up for sale. And we can fully commit to a new era of social housing, ending subsidies for luxury housing development and using our wealth to build beautiful, high-quality social housing projects that offer good homes and strong communities to everyone. We won't decommodify housing overnight, but we know what we have to do, and we have history to guide us.
Go further. That's Zoran Mamdani, wants to be the mayor of New York City, and that's his idea for socialized housing. Gosh, you know, think about how great your house could be if the government took care of it, Ryan. Where have you been on this? This is great. This is huge.
I love these great big government ideas.
Mark the tape. he's going to try to socialize things. He's not even like, it's not a secret. He's a socialist.
So I haven't heard all of what he just said there. I've heard some of it. But one thing he said that just stuck out to me, it makes you go, it's all the same kind of stuff, though. It all makes you go, oh, That's not a terrible idea. Like giving renters the first right of refusal to buy a house if it goes up for market when they're living in it. That would be immediately gone around by the person selling the house, marking it up for the amount of time that they have the first right of refusal. And then once it goes to actual market, they would just mark it back down. It's so easy to bust that stuff.
Well, also, if you have a first right of refusal, there's going to not be an opportunity for capitalism and the marketplace to dictate price.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you could price it high and then bring it back down again. That person could still buy the house at that price if the price came back down. But
yes.
if you remove the ability to have competition for the price, I mean, when I talk about Tammy Dittemore and the Dittemore Group, you know, you want to list your house competitively. The asking price, you want to be competitive because you want six people to want your house.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you see what was taking place in 2020. People were like, I want that house. I don't even need to see it. And I'll offer a 10% over asking price for it. And that's what the market would bear. Is that house all of a sudden 10% improved? No. But that's how the market works. But maybe not so much, maybe not any longer in New York City if Zoran Mamdani gets in and has his way. I often wonder, okay, these are your ideas, these are your thoughts, but how much can you actually materially as the mayor of New York City, what kind of powers do you have to do this? What kind of effect is it going to have on the country outside of just New York City? Let's ask a New Yorker himself. Dori Murdoch joins us once again, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador and Fox News contributor, and of course, author on this particular issue in the Daily Signal right now. Gotham's next mayor, a commie, a crook, or a crime fighter? Dori, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
And it's great to be with you again.
Have you resigned the fate of New York City to be Mayor Mamdani here once Election Day comes on? Are you still hoping for something that might look a little bit different than that?
you know, well, hope springs eternal. And what I hope happens, you know, if this will take place, but you could have a number of things. I think that a lot of people, the Mamdani people, are very self-confident, and they think it's in the bag. He's definitely going to win. And some people then say, oh, well, he doesn't need my vote. I'll stay home. And if enough people do that, the votes don't end up in the ballot box, and people sometimes can lose elections that way. I also think there's some talk, New York Post, among others, urging Curtis Sliwa to drop out and have it be a race between Mamdani, the Democrat nominee and far-left socialist, if not communist, versus Andrew Cuomo, our former Democrat governor. And who knows if that'll happen or not. I think Sliwa's going to stay in the race. I do think I'd love to see an actual two-man race, but two-man race should be Mamdani versus Sliwa. Andrew Cuomo lost the Democrat primary. He's running as an independent, so he had the opportunity to get the Democrat nomination. He didn't do it. He blew it. And he's the guy who could have beaten Mamdani in the primary, and he didn't, yet he's still sticking around. So I think if anyone ought to drop out of the race, it ought to be the guy who lost his primary, which is Andrew Cuomo. Curtis Sliwa won his primary. He has every right to be the Republican nominee. And so I'd like to see when we go to the polls in a couple weeks to have a choice between not, you know, Marxism-Leninism versus far, far left American Democrat agenda, but between Marxism-Leninism on one side and Rudy Giuliani-style free markets, tax reduction, limited spending, increased public safety, and some focus on economic growth and greater prosperity. That's a choice. That's a real election where you get to choose one path or the other. You have a fork in the road. One goes left, one goes right, rather than having a fork in the road that goes either, you know, 90 degrees to the left or 80 degrees to the left, which is what we would have if we had Mamdani versus Cuomo rather than Mamdani versus Sliwa. Mm.
Do you feel like the United States has had somebody who's actually elected into office who is as socialist as Mamdani is? Is this the highest profile socialist that you can think of that would have been actually elected into office if he wins?
Off the top of my head, yes. We have definitely had, you know, very, very liberal Democrats get into office. I mean, J.B. Pritzker comes to mind, Brandon Johnson in Chicago, people like Maura Healey in Massachusetts, and Gavin Newsom is definitely no conservative. But I cannot remember anybody ever running for office and saying that he wanted to, quote, seize the means of production, quote unquote. Somebody who's talked about, quote, abolishing private property, unquote. I mean, these are terms you actually find in the literature of Karl Marx and V.I. Lenin and Joseph Stalin and people like this. I mean, people have been very super liberal, but I can't think of anybody who's run for such a big position and is in the potentially could win, who's actually basically quoting the basic texts of communism. That's as far left as I've ever seen. I may have missed somebody along the way, but in terms of anybody high profile, I think he's probably about as far left as we've ever seen on the ballot. And unfortunately, with a decent chance of actually getting elected.
Yeah, you know, I think it's you refer to the desire for Mamdani from conservatives to get elected as a cautionary tale in your piece in the Daily Signal. But, you know, regardless of if people are wanting and willing that to happen, just so everybody can see how terrible it would actually be in actual practice in New York City. Socialism has been a word that's been thrown around, you know, I think since probably Barack Obama was running and was elected. His idea of hope and change was essentially to do a lot of the things, the socialistic things that Mamdani is proud to say, didn't hide that type of mentality, ideology, the way I feel as though the socialistic tendencies of President Obama, a lot of the things he put into place were kind of winking and nodding at that without saying the quiet part out loud. This is the quiet part way out loud with Mamdani. Do you feel like, can you explain to us, in your opinion, especially since you live there in New York City, what do you think a socialist mayor is going to look like in New York City in practice compared to the very far left Democrat mayors that they've had before?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, well, I think if God forbid he is elected, he's already talked about he loves freebies, free this, free that, free the other. So free buses, all the buses will be free. Now, that's free when you hop on them, but obviously someone's got to pay for them, so that's all going to come out of the taxpayer dollars at City Hall. He's talked about free universal child care. He wants to set up free grocery stores. So all these freebies. I'm not sure where he's going to get the money once people, if he gets elected, pack up and leave and go to Florida, go to Palm Beach. Or if you may have something which is, in a certain sense, more dangerous for New York, although very good for New Jersey, if Jack Ciattarelli wins and becomes governor of New Jersey, you're going to see a government there that's going to be trying to cut taxes, reduce spending, increase school choice, make it easier for the police to do their jobs, reduce crime. And people in New York City are going to say, look, I don't need to hop on a plane and go all the way to Florida and have to, get a U-Haul and drive, overnight to haul my stuff. And, I'll just get a place in Jersey City, get a place in Hoboken, get a place somewhere in the suburbs. And then you can live there 6 months a day and enjoy all the benefits of being in a Republican New Jersey. And then if you want to come in for a Broadway show or you feel like going to shop at Saks Fifth Avenue or enjoy the various things New York City has to offer, you don't have to hop on a plane and fly up. You just take the PATH train or drive in through the Lincoln Tunnel and enjoy the good things in New York City if they're still here, and then go back to your place in New Jersey. Enjoy keeping more of your money through lower taxes and enjoy much more public safety and probably better schools if you have a Republican in charge. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm rooting for Jack Ciattarelli. I hope he wins in New Jersey. But boy, if he gets in, he is just going to be a giant electromagnet. He's just going to suck people across the Hudson River into New Jersey, and it's going to accelerate the downfall of New York City. So that's one thing. Independent of the economic effect of having a socialist, democratic socialist, if not communist, like Mamdani as mayor, the economic damage could be severe. But my real fear is, what's this going to do in terms of the police department? And I think a lot of people in the NYPD will say, okay, this is the last straw, I'm out of here. They're going to retire. They're going to run like hell. That the recruits, the new people coming in, will probably drop off dramatically. And I think the criminals will just get the memo that, hey, it's open season in New York City, and people are just going to flow in here, and there'll be robbing and mugging and raping and beating and killing. And this place could get very dangerous very quickly. And I hope I'm wrong about that. But as much as I'm concerned about economic collapse here, I'm very worried about a real major disaster in terms of public safety and a real efflorescence, if you will, of crime and mayhem here in New York.
Oh, God forbid. Dori Murdoch speaking with us right now. The last question I have for you, I've done a little bit of Googling research, very, very shallow, not in-depth research, but mm-hmm. I've heard people suggest that in Mamdani's current position, is he a council member or something, an alderman or something, but when he becomes the mayor, that a lot of these ideas that he has aren't going to be, at his whim to just be able to implement some of these things. Is there a lot of power of the things that he's proposing, especially the hyper-socialistic government owns everything and provides everything for free by way of the taxpayer? Do you feel as though he could be quickly successful at implementing his ideas?
Good question. He is a state assemblyman from Queens, so he's a member of the state legislature.
Okay.
And I understand, I need to look at the figures on this, but apparently he's only shown up for half the vote. So apparently he's got the ideas of Karl Marx and the work ethic of Joe Biden. So how about that?
What a combo.
The only thing worse than that would be the ideas of Karl Marx and the work ethic of Donald J. Trump, in which case he would be even worse trouble. But look, there is some limit to what the mayor of New York can do because of the laws that were passed after the economic meltdown of the 1970s, when New York City basically went bankrupt or close to it. And the state can step in from Albany and say, look, you've taken it too far. You got to stop. Now, Kathy Hochul, our completely undistinguished Democrat governor, has endorsed Mamdani. So I'm not sure if she's going to get in his way or if she's going to, wave the pom-poms and turn on the green lights and let him do what he wants. But presumably, if things go too crazy, she can tap the brakes a bit, which is good news. Now, the bad news is that the mayor can accomplish a whole lot just by his tone. And I can tell you, when Rudy Giuliani got into his job as mayor, it was literally within a month or two when we just saw the whole place start to feel like it was turning around. Mm-hmm. And it was just by having a mayor who was at City Hall, focused, energetic, as President Trump is, and just rather than pointing fingers, just saying, look, I'm in charge. I'm going to fix this. This is my job. I'm going to do it. And just by virtue of his example, we saw, I can tell you living here at the time, the attitude among people was, well, Mayor Giuliani's told us we need to throw our trash in the garbage bins, not just on the sidewalk. And all of a sudden, the streets started getting cleaner. Just the overall tone on the street improved. People became more polite with each other. I mean, it was just amazing how quickly a little bit of leadership will turn things around for the better, for the worse. I mean, we've seen it in D.C. with President Trump showing up, and within a month or two, things certainly feel different. And then when Joe Biden came in, within a couple months, he saw things going downhill. So I think just by personality and tone and just kind of what direction he points things. A mayor can have a tremendous impact independent of whatever the governor and the state legislature allow or don't allow up in Albany.
Well, I have a plot twist suggestion for New York City. If Mamdani gets elected, I have the perfect candidate to run in 4 years, and that's Donald Trump. When he's done being the president, he should come be the mayor of New York City and make New York City great again. He'll be, you know, he's still going to want something to do. He's got interest, right?
He has interest in, and overwhelming abundant energy. So wouldn't that be something that goes from the White House to Gracie Mansion? That would be quite something.
I would love it. I think the country would love it, and I think that President Trump would be amused.
I think he'd be very entertained in that position. Absolutely, as would be all.
Yes, we would. DeRoy, thank you as always for being with us.
All right, Eddie, thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye bye. I'm for it. Donald Trump for mayor. Why not? He could be the mayor of my town. I'd vote for him. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got Dr. Mark Siegel coming up in about 12 minutes from right now, so you're going to want to keep it here. He's got a book out. I'm excited to talk to him about this. The book is The Miracles Among Us, and it's about how God's grace plays a role in healing. What an interesting conversation we're going to have, I'm sure, of it at 1:30. But I'm also going to talk to him about, guess what? Saturated fat is in. I think we can high fives all around on that. Dr. Mark Siegel, in about 12 minutes, we'll get Ryan back in here next. Don't go away.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. It's been a full show so far. We've had Senator Josh Hawley on in the 12 o'clock hour. DeRoy Murdoch just speaking to us about Zohran Mamdani, who wants to be the mayor of New York City. He's a socialist, and he is not afraid to say that he is. We're asking you on the Annie Fry YouTube channel today, our daily poll, which you can find on the live chat portion of our live broadcast on YouTube. Will the election of New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani have an effect on the national political landscape? It's going to help Democrats, it's going to help Republicans, or it's not going to have any effect. Ryan?
It's going to help Republicans. Him being out there showing the world what real communism looks like, and as far as he's able to enact it, because he won't be able to do everything, but the things that he's going to do are really going to force people away from New York even more. It's going to continue to slide as an economic center. The economic center of the country is already moving. He's going to push that further. So it's going to be bad for New York to have him there. And I think that having him as the face of the socialist movement, I think it actually does help Republicans.
It's a charming face, though, Ryan.
I mean, you
see his face and you're like, I'd like to have dinner with that guy.
I wouldn't mind having dinner with that guy because I know I wouldn't pay for it.
Well, I was thinking you were definitely going to pay for it. He wouldn't pay for it, that's for sure. You'd be paying double. Here's why I think it's going to help Republicans. Because generally speaking, when super progressive policies enter into a space, what are the top places off the top of your head? Where is it like cuckoo leftist?
Portland.
Good stuff.
Seattle. Chicago, San Francisco.
Those are places, those are all places that I would think initially. Not really New York. Of course it's blue, but I think of those specific places, especially the Northwest, as like, that's just for them. Mm-hmm. Like, you've done it. You've done that to it. You've driven out the opposition. Like, if it's that bad, they have moved enough people out of the area that they can continue to lean into the left. They don't have to moderate.
Right.
Because those people are in Austin, Texas.
Right.
And in Florida. Maybe in Phoenix. Maybe in Las Vegas or Reno or something like that. They've moved away from those areas because the people who live there, the residents who live there, are like, I'm not going to live the rest of my life trying to fix this. So they've moved. So that those places have just been given over, in my opinion, to whatever you can materialize as the most progressivism, you name the places. Chicago, to me, Chicago's a little bit different on the map because I don't think of Chicago as the iteration of the Democrat Party that is like a progressive's dream. I think of Chicago as corrupt. As a completely corrupt hellhole.
It's a different type.
Yes. And I don't think that the people of Chicago are the people of Portland. I think they're different people with different interests. I think that people in Chicago, on the whole, want a lot of the same things that the people of Carbondale and the people of Champaign and Springfield and, you know, maybe some more of the Madison County areas that are right here. A little bit more moderate to kind of like hard on your sleeve liberal type of stuff. But I don't think they like paying the taxes. I remember we went to Chicago last year for the state basketball tournament that we took my daughter's team to, and they have the extra tax on everything. It's just like a handling fee. You handed me my coffee, you get 1% on top of the city tax and all the other nonsense. It's outrageous, and I don't think the people of Chicago like it. I think there's a hopelessness in the corruption that has existed there, and the fact that Donald Trump is playing in that area to first clean it up is enough to give some people who are in Chicago, and remember, in Cook County, you get 24%, 24%, less than 1 in 4 voters to say, I'm kind of sick of what the Democrats have done here. If Cook County goes 24% red, Republicans win the statewide elections here in Illinois. So Chicago, to me, yes, I pay a little more attention to it than I do specifically the profile of a Portland or a San Francisco. I don't think Chicago is as lost to the ideology. If it's lost, it's lost to the corruption, in my opinion. But this is where I think that the Mamdani candidacy and likely outcome that he's going to win the mayorship, mayoralship, the ship. We'll just say it like the kids do. He's going to win the ship, which I don't even think you can add to mayor, but I did. What does the national news cover first? Everything New York City. And if you have an out-migration of people who live in New York City who Mamdani needs to fund all his bullcrap socialism. Who goes first? The people who can afford to. The people who can say, oh, what is it that all the Democrat elected officials are doing? We'll just have a, we'll just make our primary residence be in a no income tax state. Let's go to Tennessee. And maybe you keep a small place or something like that in New York City if you're going to do business there. But if you're portable, you're probably out. You're downsizing. And if that revenue leaves the city, then that is going to materialize in a big problem for Mamdani that can't be ignored. The city will denigrate over time. And because it's New York City, we will know about it. It won't just go the way of San Francisco or Portland, where it's like, oh, Portland, CHOP, I think, right? Yes. And then you move on. The CHOP zone or whatever it was before CHOP.
Chaz.
All I think of my son's name is Charlie. But when I hear Chaz, all I think about is Chaz Bono. It's just true.
Is Chaz short for Charlie?
Chaz is short for Charles.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, for sure.
Never heard that.
I think that the socialism experiment in the state, specifically in New York City, will be the highest profile way for everyone to get a good glimpse of the highest profile socialist that maybe has ever been elected in this country. Unless you want to say Bernie Sanders. Is he a socialist?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, he's a Democratic socialist.
But he's one of 50 voices in the Senate.
It's pretty high profile, though.
But it is high profile.
One of 100.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
let's take a quick break. Dr. Mark Siegel on the Annie Fry Show next.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you. Ramblers in the wilderness, we can't find what we need. We get a little restless from the search and get a little worn down in between. Like a bull chasing.
reducing the dietary guidelines from a 453-page document that we inherited from the Biden administration. That was driven by the same industry impulses that put Fruit Loops at the top of the food pyramid. We're going to deliver instead a 4 or 5-page document that tells people how to give healthy food to their children. Those dietary guidelines will then drive changes in the school lunch programs all over this country. We are writing SNAP waivers every day to the states that are applying for them so that sodas and candies are no longer available using food stamps. Taxpayers should not be paying for food-like substances that are chemically based that are poisoning our population. And
Robert F. Kennedy, a while ago, a report from the White House on NBC, really talking about how government guides us to feed our bodies and feed our bodies well. You all know that I'm a mom of four. I've got a 15-year-old son who is always hungry and a 4-year-old that I'm helping to grow here and 2 daughters in between. And it is so incredibly difficult to know how to feed my kids in a healthy way. And of course, us moms and dads are always looking for the best advice. Let's talk to somebody who is an expert on it. Dr. Mark Siegel joins us once again. He's a senior medical analyst for Fox News. And also, he has a book out that I cannot wait to talk to him about, The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. Dr. Siegel, welcome back on the show. It's always good to have you with us.
Great to have you, to be on with you, I mean. How are you?
Well, we're doing okay here so far. I want to ask you about this latest release or whatever from Bobby Kennedy about saturated fats. Doctor, I thought saturated fats were bad. Now we're suggested that maybe they weren't as bad as we were once told.
Well, I will get under the headline for you. I think it starts with the idea that in the 70s and the 80s, We demonized saturated fats, and we said, these are the bad guys. I'll tell you why in a minute. And then what happened is the wheels came off the cart, and everybody said, well, we got to eat something. And they quickly went to foods that were high in sugar, high in high fructose corn syrup, high in fake ingredients and artificial ingredients. And we went to what's called processed and ultra-processed foods, which are probably worse for us than saturated fats. They lead to inflammation in the body. So we kind of said sugar was okay, but fats are bad, when sugars are probably worse than fats. But saturated fats are calorie dense, and that means that you can use them for energy without gaining as much weight. They also have a lot of protein. Meat has a lot of protein. Meat has a lot of iron in it and minerals and vitamins. But I think the real message at the time should have been, instead of having saturated fats, you might want to have olive oil. Like monounsaturated fats are healthy. And head-to-head studies have shown that monounsaturated fats like olive oil decrease your risk of heart disease versus saturated fats. But what was never studied is, if you demonize saturated fats and people eat all kinds of fast food crap, what happens then? They get more heart disease. They get more obesity. So Kennedy is addressing the obesity epidemic in the United States, and specifically how it affects our children. And he's basically saying, we need more choices here, and we don't need to be demonizing fats. That's my take on it. The other issue is that studies on saturated fats, some of them are actually good for you. Like whole milk yogurt has a lot of probiotics and anti-inflammatory factors in it. Same with cheese. You know, I'm not a big fan of butter. I'm not a big fan of meat. I think that a diet high in red meat does lead to more saturated fats, which does increase LDL cholesterol, which does probably increase your risk of heart disease. So there are issues. It shouldn't be like, I'm not on the same page in terms of wanting a carnivore diet for everyone. I like a Mediterranean diet, but I'm okay with meat, having meat occasionally.
You know, some of the consistencies I hear coming from RFK Jr. is his complete and total disdain for these overly processed foods. And I almost take, when I hear something coming out of his office, I usually take it with the understanding that it seems as though his number one crusade is to get rid of all this processed food. So saying like eating whole foods that I have here listed, you know, good meat, fresh meat and vegetables, some dairies that you've listed, that, of course, that's going to be a healthier option for people to eat, especially, I always say, like, the closer to the way God made it seems to be the better way to eat it. But at the same time, comparing that to all the processed foods, how many times, doctor, have I looked at something that's like zero fat? And then you look on the back and it's just loaded full of sugar. But yeah, there's no fat listed in it. The guidance here, I think, is in the context of all the processed foods, health foods even, that we've been sold over the last few decades.
Yeah, I completely agree. We got to get back to farm to table. And by the way, by processed foods, I meant things like hot dogs and bacon, which I think are terrible, loaded with salt. Ultra-processed foods, it doesn't even remember what farm it came from originally. It's just fully chemicalized, you know, like the candies and the sodas and the things that are brightly colored, the breakfast cereals that draw you in. Ultra-processed foods are addictive. They're not only bad for you and load you with inflammation and make you obese, they're also addictive. So we have to re-addict ourselves to fresh vegetables and fruits. You know, we're creatures of habit. If you put us on a better trajectory, we're going to stay there. And that's how I take Kennedy's comments here. I think that we ended up, the whole thrust against saturated fats backfired. It was overstated, and it was demonization, and it led to an addiction to something worse.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Dr. Mark Siegel, senior medical analyst for Fox News, also author of a book out now, The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. Before I get to talking to you about your book, I can't wait to have that conversation with you, doctor. I want to highlight a word that you've said at least twice now in our conversation, and that's inflammation. That seems to be a key attention factor that I hear talked a lot about now, maybe more than it has been in the past. When you're talking about inflammation in our body, can you give us a brief precursor as to how that inflammation happens to us, but then what our body does with it?
That's a really good question. It's about chemicals. Chemical buildup in the environment and then in our bodies leads to an inflammatory response. Inflammation, simply put, is the immune system being geared up when it doesn't need to be geared up. That's the inflammation, whether it's cytokines or whether it's interleukins. I can get really fancy and get into the chemicals that are involved, but it's an overuse or abuse of the immune system due to introducing something to the body that shouldn't be there, whether it's microplastics or whether it's everywhere chemicals or whether it's ultra-processed foods or whether it's dyes, unnatural things being introduced to the body. What do those things do? What does inflammation do? Well, it's not good for your brain. There's evidence that neuroinflammation increases your risk of dementia and Alzheimer's. It's not good for your metabolism. I can tell you that. It puts more strain on your metabolic process. And the older you get, the harder it is to get rid of this stuff. That puts pressure on your kidneys and your liver, which do all the disposal of waste in our body. And that puts you at risk of cancer. It also builds up in your coronary arteries, giving you risk of heart disease, which we're finding microplastics in the coronary artery disease. I mean, in the coronary arteries. And they're tiny coronary arteries. So we need to get back to more natural to safeguard our hearts, our lungs, our kidneys, our livers, and our brains.
Well, those are all things that we can do for ourselves. And I love listening to your analysis on how to eat healthier and just prepare ourselves for living a healthier, more active life. But there sometimes it seems as though it's not just everything we do that there is an intervention that takes place. And you as a doctor have witnessed this, or you've put a book together called The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. You're the senior medical analyst for Fox News, so you have the opportunity to talk about these issues on a very public scale. What have you put into this book? What kind of treats are there going to be there for readers when they pick up The Miracles Among Us?
This is a book of stories. Stories that I've accumulated throughout my career of unexpected medical outcomes. Stories that I learned as I was researching this book and I interviewed people. I accumulated stories by asking every doctor I knew and every patient I knew and almost everybody I knew, what are your best stories? I went through them. I figured out the ones I liked the best. Sometimes the interviews led me to conducted all of them myself, wrote every word of this book myself. The interviews sometimes led me down unexpected courses. What probably really formatted this at the beginning was Cardinal Dolan. When I interviewed him, he said, I don't really focus on church miracles, the lightning bolt from the sky, the blind man that can see again, the paralyzed man walking. He says, I'm more about a compilation of great medical science and faith. Divine intervention, yes, but combined with great physicians being the hands of God. And then I saw story after story about that, where the hands of God were directly involved, that being great doctoring, with some coincidence that occurred. As I'm saying this, I'm thinking of the chapter on Shane. Shane was a young man. I had two stories from the Dominican in this book, where young men were diving off the back of recreational boats. Mm. One ended up almost paralyzed, and I ended up airlifting him to Miami. His entire spinal cord was broken. And when the head of neurosurgery at University of Miami fixed it, I said to him, it must be a miracle. He said, actually, the fact that he escaped paralysis initially by slamming his head on the bottom of the Caribbean there and fracturing his spinal cord like that, That he got here in record time, and that I repaired it on New Year's Day. That's a miracle, but that might have happened to 2 to 3% of people. He says, "What's really a miracle, Andy? Listen to this: was that the room he was in the Dominican Republic? They let him walk to the bathroom with a collar hanging off his neck, and only his neck warned him, 'Don't move too far, or you'll be paralyzed.' That was the real miracle, and so." The miracles that I found weren't where I was expecting them. The other Dominican miracle in the Dominican Republic, a guy dove off the back of the boat, and when he swam to the side, someone accidentally turned the motor back on. The propeller went all the way to his sciatic nerve and femoral artery, but stopped a millimeter short. If it hadn't stopped, if someone hadn't realized it and turned off the boat at that exact second, he would have lost use of that leg. So instead, he was brought up to Cornell, and they operated on him repeatedly over months and months and months. Two artists operated on him, one great plastic surgeon who was the head there, and one great orthopedist. They rebuilt his leg. They rebuilt the muscles. They did grafts. All of this, and he ended up back water skiing again in the end. But what was the miracle there? Was it the great doctoring, or was it the propeller stopping just in time? I think I call it a miracle lane. You're in a miracle lane where the coincidences just happen to accrue. We all have them. Most of the people I'm talking to have them. And so it's a very good time with the holidays coming. Remember the miracle in your life, how you didn't think you would get where you were, the hope and the courage, and how it connects people rather than divides them.
Oh, and what an important story and lane to be walking down right now when there is so much divisiveness. The book is called The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. I love that you referred to the hands of God and that you called these medical professionals artists in their ability to do the things that they do. We need to hear more stories of this and always remember that these talents that have been given to these individuals to heal us, they are gifts on loan from God. It's an amazing thing. Thank you for sharing your book with us, Dr. Mark Siegel. I look forward to hearing more of those stories from this compilation. I'm sure it's going to be a great one.
And Cardinal Dolan says, God brings you the miracles he wants you to have, not necessarily the ones you're expecting.
Oh, wise advice, of course, from the Cardinal. Thank you so much, Doctor. We appreciate your time. We look forward to having you back.
Great to be on with you, Annie. Thank you.
You as well. Bye-bye. Wow. You both have faced some medical obstacles in your life. Do you feel like you've been a party to miracles? Anything stick out to you?
I mean, the timing of me getting a miraculous cystic fibrosis drug.
You've talked about that.
Is incredible. It's just hard to talk about some of those things with others because I've spoken to parents of kids whose kids died from cystic fibrosis. So you say, well, this was miraculous for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why God does what he does when he does it. I know that there are other forces involved. It's something that you almost have to say, this is what I know about myself, and that's all I can say.
Yeah, certainly. We'll tell that story when we come back, because sure. I know the story you're talking about, but folks that are newer to the show or maybe were not listening all 15 hours of that week may have missed it.
I don't understand why people don't do that.
It's an incredible story. You can share that when we come back. The book from Dr. Mark Siegel, The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. Go grab it. We'll be right back. Face down in the desert now. We just got done speaking with Dr. Mark Siegel. His book, The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. You referenced the miracle that you think that you experienced. I would agree with that, certainly, regarding you have cystic fibrosis, and you participated in a drug study.
2009, so I was actually starting to get very sick. I had gotten married in 2007.
How old were you?
I was 26. 27?
Yeah. What was the life expectancy of someone who had cystic fibrosis?
It was about 22 when I was born. But the older I got, the more it got pushed back to where it's always been about what I am. To where, no matter what age I am, that's about the life expectancy.
So 22 when you were born was life expectancy. You got sick at what age?
I would have been 25-ish when I really started to get sick and was having trouble doing things. So then I got into this drug study. And I guess the miracle was that, so in cystic fibrosis, which is already a very specific genetic mutation, there are genetic mutations within that gene. So you can have CF, but have different versions of the mutation, which is why you have different people having it, sort of different symptoms with the same kind of disease. And so I've always been a little bit more on the milder side, not terribly mild, but a little bit more than many. Of CF. And the drug study that came out in 2009, it came out right as I was really starting to get bad. It only allowed for around 5% of the CF population to even be eligible for the drug study. So not only that, did you have to be in the 5%, then you had to get into a study, which everybody was clamoring to try to get into. Then you had a 50% chance of being on a placebo. And I got in it. They did one in St. Louis, so that was great because you didn't have to travel. Because people were traveling from all over the world to be in the studies because it was such a miraculous, life-changing drug. So I got in it, got on the drug, and I knew day one that I was on it because I could tell. And I told my doctors, I'm on it. And they're like, you can't tell us. This is a double-blind study. So I said, okay, I'll stop telling you that I'm on it.
Wink, wink, wink.
But my numbers showed it, so there was no doubt. And so, you know, there's a lot more to that story, of course. But
is that drug still in play?
Now it's beyond 5% of the population. They've actually expanded it to where it covers about 75% of the population now over the last 15 years.
And it found you.
I got it first. And I got it right as I was getting bad. So I wouldn't be here, I don't think, today if I hadn't.
Do you think that was a miracle?
It was for me. The timing for my story is so specific that I can't look at it and not think that it was ordained.
Yeah. It's incredible. I know a lot of people have stories like that. We could talk more about them, too. If you've got a story that's similar to that, you can comment and share it. If you can share it in a few posts on our YouTube channel, we'd love to include those. You can check out Dr. Mark Siegel's book, The Miracles Among Us. 2 o'clock hour on the Annie Fry Show coming up. Let's have fun. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.